13 years we've waited for this. I've gotten married and divorced and had two kids. Let's go, Phillies!
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while since the Phillies won the division. Welcome back, Midday Show. 13 years. Every time I hear that, I wonder if the order is the way he describes it.
Yeah, it sounds like he said he got married, he got divorced, and then I guess he met somebody else and they had two kids.
Yeah, so like he did a lot in those 13 years. It's been a long time. Just think about where you were 13 years ago. Where were you 13 years ago? Were you ESPN?
I think I was.
2011.
Yeah.
September 11.
Yeah, I think I was.
I had just gotten married. I mean, I almost have done exactly what that guy's done, except I haven't gotten divorced. Like, I'm married. I had two kids.
That means you're winning. That means you're winning.
Kyle, where were you 13 years ago?
I was in high school. I was 16, yeah.
It's a long time ago.
I think I was a sophomore.
It's a long time ago, 13 years, since the Phillies last won a division title. They win. We'll see what the lineup looks like tonight. I'm guessing, how many of these regulars are not in the lineup tonight? Half of them? There's no JT tonight. Can't imagine. I mean, no. Though the way Stubbs looked last night, I don't know if he can catch either. I don't know who's catching tonight, because Stubbs did not look like he's ready to go.
Everybody kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that could be it. The greasy food, the hairball. You figure it out. All right, 215-592-9490. Cowboy Jim is up. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Cowboy Jim, how you doing?
Kyle was watching Blue's Clues 13 years ago, so he's up on everything right now.
I was 16.
Yeah, 16 feels a little old for Blue's Clues.
Zoomy then. Okay, listen, I don't care what Micah Parsons said. I care about the running game. Mm. I care about stopping the run. I don't care what he has to say. I'm sick and tired of the NFL. I'm sick of a bunch of baseball drunks dancing around like they won a championship. Bear Bryant used to say to his players when they scored a touchdown? Act like you've been there before. Celebrate when you win a World
Series. Jim, you know what it sounds like to me?
Better.
What's that?
It sounds like you're worried about your football team.
I am worried. Look at the NFL. I'm just worried. Look, you know, they should beat the Giants.
They should
beat the Giants. Will they? I don't know. They can beat the Commanders. I don't know if they will or not. I don't know. The NFL is just...
I don't know. The Commodores look like they might be...
Jaden Daniels is going to carve your defense up.
Threat of it.
Well, going to carve yours up, too.
Well, maybe.
So you better be worried about that, too.
I am.
So... Well, okay. But I'm just saying,
good
the
talk.
NFL right now, it's just, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what to bet on. I don't know how to look at anything anymore. You guys are acting like you lost the game. You won a game. So just take it and be happy with it. Goodbye, losers.
This is fun. I mean, hearing Jim upset.
Yeah, he's very upset.
That made me feel so good about the Eagles.
He mad at us because we mad at our coach.
<I know.
laughs> You should be mad at Jerry Jones looking at other people's junk.
Yeah,
that's what you should be mad about.
Talking about it
on a lie.
That was
what's
that
wrong
was,
with it?
That was
hey,
a lot.
Listen, it's coming. You know it's coming, y'all. It's gonna get worse. It's about to get worse. I told y'all this before. We got to this point. It's gonna get worse. And him trying to downplay, like you can downplay that, but it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get way worse. Because he was real comfortable when he was talking. Can you imagine some of the conversations that he's having right now, like just in general, like, and people are looking at him like, man, what the hell is he talking about? Mm-hmm. That's not on live. I wouldn't be surprised in the next following couple weeks after this, that every time you want to talk to Jerry, you cannot have your phone on you. They're going to start confiscating phones.
Oh, it's like the old Derek Jeter thing. You used to make everyone drop their phone at the door before
You mean Derek Jeter and the females. Remember, that's what it was.
Well, and also when he had parties, everyone had to put their
phone. Drop the phone. It's going to be one of those, man. When you talk to Jerry, hey, man, you can't bring your phone. Mm-hmm. Why can't I bring my phone?
Well, because you're going to cancel yourself, Jerry. Trying to watch out for that.
It's about to happen.
Let's go to Bruce, who's up next. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. How's everybody doing?
What's going on,
hey,
man?
Bruce.
How you doing?
Man, I'm so glad y'all are talking about Sirianni. Hey, Joe, I didn't get a chance to get my point in yesterday, but actually, this is probably a good time to discuss this guy. You know, look, I've been talking about Sirianni for the longest. You know, I'm an anti-Sirianni guy because, you know, the things that are happening now, even with the coaching change, are some of the things that I've always said about him. He does not have a good strategic coaching bone in his body when it comes down to making sound decisions. You would think that after last week, he would learn, you know, okay, That you didn't learn anything from last week, and even in his press conference, he still hasn't learned a damn thing when it comes down to making decisions about winning a game. First of all, you're not gauging the issue with your team. You're lacking talent. You're not going to be – you're offensively challenged. There's no excuse as to why he should have did that, made that call in the first half. And then he did it again in the second half. And then I believe – look, it was a mistake. You got overly aggressive. Oh, I want to kick the 65-yard field goal when the analytics should have told you that you should have just kicked the ball and burned it down inside the damn 20-yard line. So, hell no. He got no business overriding the calls. And I'm going to tell you something. Unless that changes, depending on the Eagles situation, he is going to probably be one of the primary reasons why we don't make it to the big dance or we win it all because he has the leeway to insert his two cents on his nonsensical aggressiveness. It's just that.
Well, it could cost them games. Bruce, you can make the call. You make the case. It cost them the game against Atlanta. And this isn't a team that's going to win this division by four games. Like, this is going to be close. Everything's going to be close this year. He blows two games. That could cost them the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's my whole point. Is that now, granted, he's the head coach. Hey, look, I don't mind the input. I get it. You know, okay. You know, but when it comes down to if he's going to – he has to – because he's the head coach, this is the scary thing about it. You can't take away his ability to make the call on kicking a field goal or not. That's his job. I mean, that is his primary. If he doesn't have anything else, he should make that call. But nobody is saying, hey, are there any mechanisms of control in place to say, hey, look, you need to learn – you need to dial this thing back. And he doesn't know how to do that because he's operating on his emotions instead of his freaking logic and understanding the situation in the game. I think that's just going to be the downfall of this team this year. But as long as he's sitting in the seat, I just can't wait until the season is over with and they get him the hell out of here because I'm tired of it. I mean, he's going to be the crutch. That's the reason why the Eagles don't win this year.
Bruce, appreciate the phone call. This is town's going to be rough on Sirianni this year. They're 2-1. And we've had multiple callers today that said they want him fired, and we had someone suggest a shock collar whenever he decides to override the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. And it's unfortunate because, you know, you can try to downplay it as much as you possibly can, but that call on third down to go for the tush push to try to get the first, that's egregious, and that's one. Where you go look up and down the timeline of everybody that has been associated with this game, played this game. Everybody's asking the question, what was you thinking?
I mean, anyone with any common sense looks at the clock and says, what is the end game here? The risk first reward is every decision a coach makes. And that one made zero sense. He got bailed out. I mean, he got bailed out on that play, and he got bailed out, you know, in this game by Dallas Goedert and by Saquon Barkley.
If we would have lost that game, man, it would not be. Everybody that's talking about, you know, this, that, and the third, they would not be happy because that you would go back to that moment. You would go back to that moment, and you would be talking more about the moment where you kicked a 60-yard field goal chasing points. Like, you'd be talking about that. That would be the two biggest things that we would probably be talking about today.
There's no question. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up in a second here, we're going to get to our new segment we start every week, which is called Kiss the Baby. If you missed it last week or the week before, so every week it's almost like a reverse Survivor where we try to eliminate teams week by week. You got to, and the kind of the crux is you have to eliminate the team before they're actually eliminated. And we'll see by the end of the season who has the playoffs totally correct. The idea would be every team I don't eliminate, or Hugh doesn't eliminate, or Kyle doesn't eliminate, that should make up the playoff field by the end of the season. So, let's hit it here. Let's play a little Kiss the Baby for week three.
It's time to kiss the baby.
All right, so the first couple weeks, here's who everyone has eliminated. I have taken out the Panthers and Giants. I have eliminated them from playoff contention.
Shock.
Yes, Chuck. Kyle has taken out the Vikings and the Titans. That Vikings one, not looking great. Hugh has taken out the Dolphins and Raiders.
The one that looks more innovative.
Well, you've become the kiss Maverick. Of death. Have you noticed this? So you took out the Dolphins, and yes. Then Tua got hurt. You took out the Raiders, and then this week you got the head coach calling out the effort of his players, and he might make a quarterback decision. Yeah, he might start Aiden O'Connell.
And I just want to say, I didn't call Antonio and ask him any of this. I didn't do that.
Oh. Could you eliminate the Cowboys next?
No, I'm not yet. Not yet. It's a little bit premature. But I tell you who I will eliminate. Wait a minute. Oh, it's not my turn.
Kyle goes first.
Oh, okay, my bad. I got excited.
Wow, you almost jumped the gun there. It's like the NFL draft.
That
the team jumping ahead of somebody else.
That
Kyle?
Would have been a disaster.
All right, Kyle,
I need a surefire one here after the Vikings ones. It's not looking good. Are they how many teams are 3-0 in football? Right,
Tennessee, Jacksonville.
No, 3-0.
Oh, 3-0. Undefeated.
I know Seattle.
Buffalo,
Seattle,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh.
Oh, man. Yeah, so the Vikings one's not looking good. Titans one is. I need a surefire one here. I'm going with the team that lost to the New York Giants and just continue to look awful.
Ooh.
That's the Browns. There's no way.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, well, like, I think it is, too, because Deshaun Watson stinks, and there's no Joe Flacco coming to save him this time. So I'm eliminating the Browns from the postseason.
All right, the Browns are done. So who would go second today?
That's you. No, it goes back to you. Yep, and then you.
All right, so I go second today. All right, so I have gone with the Panthers and Giants. I have to say, though, after watching Andy Dalton in there, Panthers have a little bit of life.
The Panthers.
Yeah, a little bit of life. Actually, I guess the Giants do, too. They're both 1-2. All right, so today I'm going to go with a winless team because I've got two teams at 1-2. Give me one of the winless teams in the NFL. I am eliminating today. It's over. The Jacksonville Jaguars season is over. I hate to do it to Doug because I love him. This thing is dead. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he's won a game since last Thanksgiving. He stinks. I feel like I've been sold a bill of goods on Trevor Lawrence. He came out a generational prospect. He's bad.
Oh, no, they were sunshine. That's what they were calling him, sunshine. They thought they had a quarterback. He's had his moments. He just hasn't progressed.
He is not.
He has not progressed as a quarterback.
Him and Josh Allen on the same field last night, it's like they're two different leagues.
Yeah. Josh Allen on a mission.
He is. It looks like the MVP right now. Jags eliminated.
Trevor stinks, but at what point do you look at Doug?
Well, not developing a quarterback?
Yeah, couldn't like fix Wentz.
Him. I know. He couldn't fix him.
And the whole Press Taylor thing.
Doug's not blameless. I love Doug. He's not blameless, but that thing's a mess. I'm eliminating the Jaguars. Hugh, who are you taking out this week?
You know, the last couple of teams I took were AFC teams, you know, because I was kind of looking at that. That was the easiest thing to do. I'm going to go chalk a little bit today. I'm going to go chalk with this one, and I'm going to pick the Chicago Bears.
I like that.
Yeah, because that's an easy one. Because it's amazing how quickly the worm turns in the NFL. You talk about the first week of the season, even though he didn't do a whole lot, they made a whole lot of to-do about the fact that he won the first game. Even though, when you look at the stat sheet, they probably could have won it if I was back there quarterbacking.
Caleb Williams,
Yeah, Caleb Williams, quarterback, Caleb Williams. So now you've turned the page 2 weeks removed from that first game. They're already having conversation about did we pick the right guy. And you know what the irony of all of this is? Justin Fields lightweight balling.
He's played well in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's undefeated.
The other reason I like your pick, they're by far the worst team in their own division.
No, like think about it like this. All those people that were excited to get Justin Fields out of town, I mean, he like Kumo D, how you like me now? He's like, how you like me now?
Well, he's with a real franchise, and the Bears stink.
That is crazy. And the Bears are they're one of the oldest franchise.
There is a lot of hype around the Bears. They are clearly the worst team in their own division. Minnesota's way better. Detroit's way better. Green Bay's way better. I mean, that's a last place team.
It has to be hard going to work every day, looking at him and just shaking head like, man, we made a bad choice.
So I still think it was the right choice, but no, not in the moment.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to pick a quarterback, man. It's hard to find one of those guys that can lead your team to the promised land. And it doesn't help when you have Coach Quinn down there doing what he's doing with Jaden Daniels, looking like he's the guy.
Well, you know what? I think it's karma for the whole tank culture in the NFL. Lovie Smith got great karma winning the last game of that season and ending up with the second and got CJ. Well, I guess the Texans got good karma.
They did.
Winning the game and ended up with CJ Stroud, the number 2 overall pick. And the last two number 1 overall picks They stink. I mean, they're real. They don't look good at all right now.
Yeah, everything's hard for Caleb Williams. He's getting sacked all the time. He's running backwards. It's just he doesn't look like he's special right now. We'll see what he becomes. But all right, so kiss the baby for this week. I take out the Jags. Kyle takes out the Browns. Hugh takes out the Chicago Bears. We'll do it again next week. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Josh in Wilmington. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, my guys? What's happening?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, not a whole lot. So first things first, man, I want to congratulate you guys. I listened to you the other day during the pregame. Outstanding job, man.
Oh, thank you. We had fun. We'll be back Sunday for the Bucks game. Thank you, Josh.
Really?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
We were supposed to be here.
So listen, Nick Sirianni. Well, let's do this. Hats off to the Phils, right? They're dancing on their own.
Yep.
I'm stoked for that. But all this Nick Sirianni stuff, like I'm with Kyle. You know, let's let who's making the calls make the calls. Nick Sirianni, in my opinion, is kind of still searching to find his place. So he's just shooting, you know, fish in a barrel and hoping, oh, God, hopefully one of these decisions that I make on the sideline works out and everybody will praise me. Like, the guy is, I think he's just a little bit too elementary for the role he's in. You know, his behavior's not the greatest for an NFL head coach. He's constantly under scrutiny. I'm over talking about the head coach, but, man, this can't keep going on from week to week. It can't. Bad decision-making, interference at some point is what we're hearing with some of the calls that are being made. I'm just, I got happy and took the week off from calling last week WIP because finally – they probably were listening to Hugh, the defensive line at least. Let's set edges. How about it's finally great to see people tackle? You know what I mean?
They really did tackle well on Sunday. Dean and Bond. There were very few plays where Kamara got past them when they had him wrapped up.
No doubt. I mean, I used an example the other day. You know, we've all been to a wedding, right? When we're getting ready for the reception, and everybody parts to see and lets the bride and groom in, right? Well, it kind of looked that way every time, or at least the first 2 weeks, when a back or a wide out was catching a ball on the perimeter. You know, it was like, hey, the only thing missing was a bunch of players throwing rice at the guy running past them.
It was a police escort.
Yeah, man. Like, come on. But, I'm fired up, one, to finally see a little bit of adjustment from our defensive coordinator. Our defense really did show up. And I'll tell you, listening to Brandon Graham this morning, the joy you hear in his voice after all these years playing on the squad, man, I sure do hope that same defense, because let's be real, my guy Jordan Davis, who I came down on pretty damn hard, man, did he have a good game the other day?
He did. He had a sack, and they couldn't move him. And Josh, no. I heard Brandon this word too. Nick, Josh, we appreciate the call. Brent, where would they be without Brandon Graham? I can't believe how much they still need him.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh, I'm amazed at how he's still doing it at his age. You live this life. I mean, almost the same kind of player, and then at the same stage of your career, you were about to be done, if not done. He's still helping them.
He's still contributing.
Yes.
And he's still out there setting the edge. He's still out there getting pressure on the quarterback, man. It's phenomenal. It's a great thing to see. Had a chance to talk to him yesterday. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I texted him. And I just asked him how he was feeling. And he didn't get a chance to answer because it sounded like he was just excited. He's still excited, man. This game is still something that he enjoys doing, and he's playing it at a high level. So I commend him for that, man. That's not easy to do. What he's out there doing at his age –